Welcome to Broad Ideas. Hi, Rob.
Hey. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Listen, Skylar Astin is on with us today.
Yes, he is.
What a delight.
Truly.
Okay, people know him from Pitch Perfect, but his current show, So Help Me Todd, is what we were talking to him about. And yeah, let's just get to him because he's a lot more entertaining than I am.
Sometimes when the world feels insane, you can take a little peek inside of Rachel's little brain. All these thoughts are swirling round and round inside. To join us on this journey as we take a little ride. We'll talk about dogs and kids and things. We'll talk about chicks and because people die.
About that fun stuff, and
we'll just stop talking. Let's just do the whole thing silent.
Let's do a new take on podcasts.
I would love that.
Guys, how do you feel about podcasts?
I like them. I like that it's relaxed and that it's not too, you know, like planned. Sometimes talk shows or whatever, you have to kind of have a bit of a script.
That's my biggest pet peeve is like the pre-interviews. Yeah. It's like, wait, this is not organic.
It is organic for me in the pre-interviews. And then they're like, remember when you came to that very natural punchline of your story?
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, I gotta hit that punchline.
Yeah. Right. And then you're in your head and you're like, oh, now I have a script in my mind that if I don't, so I'm out of the moment and I'm just thinking about these other things. And I just really feel like they should come up with something else.
Yeah, potentially.
I'm going to tell them.
Do you get like that with rehearsing?
Like you don't want to over rehearse.
Are you more like you hold it back and then give it, or do you like to go all the way there and rehearse?
I'm a theater guy, so I like to rehearse. I like to either A, rehearse, but B, like I'm not somebody who doesn't give anything. I very famously when I'm on a show or something like that, give all of it in the table read, because I think that it's like not because I'm trying to like earn my paycheck, but I really want to kind of serve the writing and see if it works. Mm-hmm. And I've done a sitcom before, and that's like really part of the job. It's you're really screwing over the writers if you're not bringing it.
Yeah.
So I even bring that to like single camera stuff, which I know a lot of times with those kinds of tonal things, some actors are like, I'm saving my choices. I'm saving my, I'm willing to make a mistake. So sometimes
I'll just bring it.
Yeah. I only know one way with that stuff.
What's the secret to sitcoms? It's the hardest thing to break into. I'm asking.
It's my favorite gig I've ever done. In a way, because for me,
favorite job, right? Like if you put it that way,
because I did this, the creator of Ted Lasso and Scrubs, Bill Lawrence, had this show called Ground Floor. And I did that for a few years. And it was just really fun because for me, it's theater, TV, and it's live in a way, but it's also not. So I get to like cheat out to the audience, but also I get to face a camera. To me, it was such a great gig and it just worked for my skill set. Like I know a lot of actors that's terrifying for.
Right.
But I was like, if anything, I prefer this. I prefer
it's
to
more
like
a theater background.
A little bit.
Right.
And being open to like changes on the spot, which happens all the time if it doesn't get a laugh. But I don't know the secret to breaking in. It's just like, if you're lucky enough to get one, it's a great gig and the hours are really good for an actor.
I'm aware. It's the dream. That's why I'm always like, you know, because they're so hard. Like, you've never done a sitcom before, but it's like,
no.
You know.
You'd be a delight.
Yes, would be a delight. Yeah,
thanks. Let's put that out there.
Yes. The Rachel Bilson Show.
The sitcom.
Rachel's.
But you come from theater, obviously. So you were born in New York City.
But like just outside of New York City. Like
It says New York City online.
I don't know. Who lied on
who
Wikipedia?
Did it?
Yeah.
Who did
not
it?
Me.
Who lied?
Not me.
But still, it's a rarity to grow. Did you grow up in New York City?
No, like I grew up in, so it was like, is the best of both worlds because I was like 45 minutes out.
Okay.
But my dad did commute every morning. So like we are that close to the city.
Right.
And I would even, once I started doing theater, like around high school age, I would even like commute for like voice lessons or auditions and stuff. And I was like a 17-year-old borrowing my parents' car to like
drive into the city.
Yeah. I'm very good at driving in like a Florence or like cities because I grew up kind of like navigating New York City. And I prefer that in a weird way. The controlled chaos of like, there's no lanes. You just get around the thing.
You just figure it out.
Yeah.
Wow. So that started early. So mm-hmm. high school, you started doing theater in New York.
Yes.
Was it like your whole life? You started off like when you were young, like, I want to perform, or what was it?
Well, when I
was. That was it.
That was
well,
it.
When,
that
I was
it.
When I was younger, I had a total like ordinary upbringing, and I played sports. Mm-hmm. And the only like artistic outlet I had was I liked to play piano. Mm-hmm. I was kind of, we had a piano in our house. So my mom was like, you're going to learn this. I was like, guitar. And she's like, you're going to learn this. And so I learned piano and I liked it, but that was my only like musical or artistic outlet. And then when I was like 13, 14, my mom again, kind of like convinced me / bribed me into auditioning for the local community production of Godspell.
Oh.
And I was doing basketball at the time, so I don't know how I would really juggle both. And then in order to make me audition, she kind of bribed me with the local Italian place that I really liked. She was like, we'll go there. Mm-hmm. And we were running late. Like we were running late anyway because we were coming back from basketball practice. And I didn't know at the time that theater runs late. Or like auditions run late.
Right.
So I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to get to go to this audition, not have to actually do anything. And I'm going to get this free Italian meal. And then and then it turns out they were running late. I was in my basketball clothes, full, you know, Zac Efron before High School Musical vibes. And just because I was a boy, I defaulted to getting like a big part and I could sing. And I always liked singing. And so, yeah, my life did a full 180 at that point.
Amazing.
And I got so bitten by the bug. All I wanted to do was theater. I was like, you know, I went from some sports stuff to doing like two or three plays at a time, mm-hmm. you know, and juggling all that. And then, yeah, and then I started kind of going into the city every once in a while to do like more professional auditions. And that just kind of led me to my first big break. In
which
New York,
was?
Which was Spring Awakening. That yeah. was like my big.
I mean, I know this. I just want you to tell me.
Which was for the people listening at home. This amazing play called Spring Awakening that I was attached to since the workshop phase and went all the way to Off-Broadway, to the extensions, to Broadway.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, the Tonys and the Grammys and all the. All
did
the
you do it stuff. When Lea Michele did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were the.
OGs?
OGs.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
I've never.
How old were you? 17?
I was, yeah. I mean, I think my first workshop, I was 16. But yeah, when we started doing it in production, it was 17, 18, and a little bit of 19.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
That's crazy for a 17-year-old. Yeah. I mean, because you know, the hours, like everything, the commitment of that.
It was a lot. It was also a very like physically draining and emotionally yeah. draining show. Mm. I had like stress fractures in my feet.
Oh, geez.
And, like,
how long did it take to heal a stress fracture?
I still deal with it. I still deal with that. Are you dealing with the stress
why
fracture
do you think
yourself?
I have my Hokas
you're
on.
Like, these are the Hokas.
No, like,
Hokas.
This is the reason why I have Hokas. I don't know if it's a stress fracture, so that's why I ask.
Stress fractures are such a weird thing, too, because they're like, there's nothing to do. You can't, like, cast it. You
right.
can't set it. They're like, no, there's just bones. You got, like, thousands of bones in your feet.
Yeah.
Couple are kind of, like, out of whack right now. So just rest.
You're like,
they keep
I can't.
Telling her it's not a stress fracture.
Yeah, I've had MRI, x-ray, so yeah. I mean, it's a mystery.
And you know? So what? It just like bothers you when you're walking?
It's specifically a toe. An
okay.
area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I literally, it hurts so much to walk. And it's been since November.
I don't yeah. like that for you.
Thank
no,
you.
It's
I
not
really
a,
don't
it's,
like
no.
it either.
I don't like that for
no.
you.
No one has an answer for me. And no. I thought you had the stress fracture
I was
going to,
because mine's like
it.
In my kind of heel area, like under there.
Yeah.
I used to jump off of a ladder every night.
Oh,
onto dress shoes, which was actually Oof. The toughest part of it all.
Oh, God.
Because we were, the play, we were like these German teens in 1891. And when the
That's
music.
Spring Awakening?
Yes.
Ah.
And it's a very dark play, actually.
Okay.
It's based on an actual play from that time.
Yeah.
And it was banned for 100 years, the actual play, due to its what? Kind of like provocative nature.
Wow. Hmm.
And then
yeah, people get naked, right?
People get naked, like
yeah.
there's sex, there's we deal with a lot of like really
Fun.
Tough issues. I know. Imagine actually going on a press tour at 18 or 17, not a press tour, but like their
yeah.
media training you being like, so anytime they mention, you know, suicide and all the,
yes.
the rape, you just have to say, but it's also a show about hope. And, you know, there's one
right.
song at the end where we kind of, because it is true, because then you'd go right in and expecting and people would be like, so suicide, yeah. rape, and teen sex. Tell us more. And we're like, well, we're also trying to sell tickets. We're like tourists. And it was obviously so much more than that. But yes, the play was very controversial. And then they adapted it into a musical in the 2000s. And so it was a very like repressive play. The adults were very repressive. Yeah. That was the point. If you don't talk to your kids about this stuff, they're left to their own devices and they will be educated in the wrong way and make some poor choices and have some bad things happen to them. And so what would happen in the musical was when things would get too intense for the kids and they felt that pressure, the entire like pastoral Bavarian German set would turn neon. Ooh. And then we would rock music would play. And then we would pull these handheld mics out of our lapels and be the 21st century versions of our characters kind of commenting through theater rock music about like the situation and then kind of return right back to the play. And so it was like people really connected to that and they connected to the teen angst and they connected to the expression.
Yeah.
And it was just a perfect pairing with the original play to adapt it into this rock musical. So we were definitely like hitting it pretty hard. And I was the one in rehearsal who was very like excited by the high flying stuff. Mm-hmm, so I became known as kind of the high flyer, which 8 shows a week is like very painful. So that's the thing. Like there's this moment during this one song called The Bitch of Living where I climb on this ladder and I jump off in like in a rock and roll way.
Yeah.
But just after, you know, now I know when I'm creating a track for myself to like be mindful of.
Right. Yeah.
even like, hey, you're landing a lot on your right. Like maybe let's do one where you land on your left. Because if you do that few thousand performances of that, so like you're just all of a sudden like, here we go. And ow, oh my God. Ow.
Oh my God.
You know,
by the time when you were done with it, were you ready for the next chapter or were you not ready?
I was because the original cast started trickling off kind of one by one. Mm. And it was like 6 people over the course of a few months. And then there was like the 5 of us that were left and we all made the conscious decision to leave together to give all of our replacements the opportunity to rehearse with them, with each other. Because when you're going in one by one, and I've now for the first time replaced, and it's so hard because you're like in rehearsal with yourself. Maybe there's some understudies who help you along the way. A lot of times you're not working with the actual director. You're working with like a stage manager who kind of tells you where to be almost, you know, for memorization reasons. Mm-hmm, but sometimes you're like, well, why does he cross left here? And then only like later in the run, the director will finally show up and be like, you know why that actually happens, right? Because in rehearsals, we were always saying, and you're like, I wasn't there for that.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of a disconnect. And so when people get literally thrown into a well-oiled machine and they just have to go on for the first night. We're always supportive, but like it is nice to be able to have a bit of an ensemble to like go in with. And so we thought that was like a nice thing to do. And we were also ready to leave together. We thought it was like best of both worlds.
Right. So when did the transition happen from theater to television or film?
Well, once I was, when Spring Awakening was kind of like having its moment, you know, you're the show that everyone's kind of coming to see. And these like auditions for these big projects would come up and we would all go out for the same thing. And I auditioned for this movie called Hamlet 2 that ended up going to Sundance and I got it. And
Sorry.
If you remember Rock Me Sexy Jesus, that was at the commercial all the time. It was the South Park people wrote it. So there's this like musical element of it.
Okay.
Where we basically write a sequel to Hamlet because the theater department is failing at the school. And so we're like, I know what we'll save.
Yeah.
We're going to write a sequel to Hamlet. which, if you don't know, everybody dies at the end of the first one. So it's about Jesus and there's a time machine and it's just ridiculous.
You know, yes.
And
as Shakespeare would have intended.
Exactly. Rolling right over in his grave. I mean, it was very irreverent. And it was the year after Little Miss Sunshine came out and it was the same producers. And so it did very well at Sundance. It didn't do very well in theaters, but it's kind of become a deep cut that like people will come up to me every once in a while and I just like brightens my mood because it's just like I loved it. That was my first movie ever.
Yeah.
And then after I went to Sundance and like did well there, that's when I was signed out of Sundance and then the pilot season of it all and I was lured out here and then I've just kind of been out here and then always go back and do theater.
You do?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I love it.
So you're based here?
I am based here for the most part. Yeah. Though, So Help Me Todd shoots in Vancouver.
I was going to ask you where you shoot. Okay, so you're in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Which I feel like out of all the places, it's only like a 2-hour flight. Like it's at least a little easier, I think.
Yeah, I've been in Vancouver now because the show that I shot right before this also shot on the same stage as the current one.
Oh, that's wild.
It's definitely yeah, a mind screw because I open up like stage three and I'm like, here we go.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like expecting the workplace that I worked with and it's a totally different set. It's crazy.
Oh, wow, that's so crazy.
I'll send like selfie videos to like the cast and the creatives of Zoe's to being like, can you believe?
So Zoe's, that Peter Gallagher was on that.
That's right. Yes, Peter Gallagher.
Yeah.
Mr. Sandy Cohen. I love that guy so much.
He's great.
I love him.
Oh, that show was great.
Yeah, we love doing it.
Did you do one or two seasons?
We did two seasons and a movie.
And a movie?
I remember the movie, yeah.
It got unceremoniously canceled, as things do.
Yeah.
And was just the victim of a bit of a regime change at NBC. And then,
yes,
you know,
as
and then there's like the uproar and they're trying to shop it around. And then Roku, of all people, decided to like buy the rights so they can have it on their and they were also like, and we'll wrap your series up with a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a Christmas special and we got to kind of do a season's worth of material in like one.
So fun.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Very rarely. It was very bittersweet for sure because we're like, oh my God, we're like going to, why should we, we wish we were still doing this. We were like getting nominated for things like after it was canceled, which is always like a weird.
It's bananas.
It's always kind of weird.
Out of all of the different things, the theater, sitcom, what's your favorite?
I guess like the easy answer is theater, but it's become a thing where like, I won't say like one can't exist without the other, but I do utilize like all of it and kind of, I can't part with any of it. But I also
you don't have to.
Yeah, right. But I always get asked, like, what do you have to? Well, because everyone's like, well, what do you pick? What do you choose?
Right.
What's your favorite? And I'm always like, honestly, they really inform each other. And if I did theater just exclusively forever, my body would break. And if I did TV exclusively forever, like something else would break. Like it's just a different kind of grind and in a different kind of skill set. So I like to kind of go back and forth as much as I can.
Was it hard for you to adjust?
I think going from theater to film for me specifically was actually a really natural adjustment.
Oh, cool.
It was a stupid moment where I was reading in that Hamlet 2 movie. My first scene ever on camera was a really long lens, which I didn't even understand how cameras worked at the time. It was like super far away. And I guess that they were like shooting through people, but they could see me very clearly in the frame. And I'm supposed to be reading the school paper, a review of our high school play at the time. And I'm furious because I'm this like type A drama kid. And I guess I was like I was kind of burying my head a little bit in the newspaper. And I realized when the DP was like, hey, Skylar, calling from across the quad, like, bring your head up. And then it was just like that relationship to camera and the presentation of it all. And just that, I think it's just the relationship because you can't be too aware of the camera, but. Like you when people say that they're method actors, it's like, well, you do have to hit a mark. Like,
There's technicalities.
You have to be in focus.
Which
for
I
sure.
find hard.
Yeah.
I was telling Rachel that. I was like, I feel like it's so technical. I grew up doing theater too. So it's like you're used to playing something out in entirety.
Right.
Like you get to do a whole scene and a whole play from beginning to end and your character goes through everything. And then you go do TV or film and they're like, okay, here's the last scene.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just going to do this, and they're not even over there. So
it's like, what door am I coming from?
Yeah.
I don't even know what's happened. I'm about to film tomorrow. I'll be on set in another country, starting a new episode. And a lot of times it'll happen from like a Wednesday to a Thursday, or thankfully, I didn't shoot like I shot my last day of the previous episode before coming here.
Right.
And now, I got to dive right in, and I think we're starting on like scene 30.
Yeah.
Right. And then I go to scene 2 and then scene whatever, 29A or whatever that's going to be. And it's just, tracking. You always have to know like where you're coming from and where you're going to, both physically and like mentally. But it's, it's a bit of a puzzle, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's just like this whole other skill set.
Yeah.
Right. Are you the only one in your family that is in this world?
Yeah.
Yeah. So your dad was in.
My dad like worked in the garment industry.
That's what
my
I thought.
Life.
Yeah. And you have three siblings?
Three siblings. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of siblings.
Yes. My older brother is in fashion. My younger brother's a chef. My sister.
Cool.
I know. Cool fam. And then my sister is a teacher. She teaches twice exceptional kids. And and is also in grad school.
Is that a situation
where a lot of her kids are on the autism spectrum and a lot of her kids like are brilliantly like super, super, super like genius level in one subject. and then very, very remedial in another. Like they
is that an actual term though?
That's twice exceptional. Yeah,
twice exceptional.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that either. Wow, that's really fascinating.
Yeah.
I think that's what we are.
Yeah, right. We're not just.
We have a name for it.
We're not just exceptional.
Yeah,
it's only in one thing.
But. Yeah, but, and they're all East Coast.
Yes, they're all New York.
They all stayed in New York.
Yeah, they didn't leave like I did.
No, you're like,
but New York's still my home, though.
Yeah,
like, I will definitely reside there and go back for sure.
You'll reside there.
I will reside there.
Okay,
I will reside.
No, I think
there.
Like there's a world in which I like fully move back.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
we'll see. We'll see when. I don't know when.
He means reside by that.
Yeah. That's what he means by
reside.
Got it.
Support for Broad Ideas comes from Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I love my fisherman sweater from Quince. I saw it by other brands, something very similar, but I was able to get it at such a better price with Quince, and the quality is amazing. I honestly wear it all the time. I'm going to have to get another. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/ideas for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ideas to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ideas. IQBar. Let me tell you, brain and body boosting, made easy, made delicious. Honestly, in the morning, it's the first thing I want to put in my mouth to get my brain going. Because let's also be honest, I need help. Start each day right with IQ Bars, brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three. Get 7 IQ Bar flavors, 4 IQ Mix flavors, and 4 IQ Joe flavors. And today, our listeners get an exclusive offer for 20% off plus free shipping. Just text IDEAS to 64,000. The Ultimate Sampler Pack is a great way to try all IQ Bar products and flavors. All IQ Bar products are entirely free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners. Refuel smarter with IQ Bar's Ultimate Sampler Pack. That's 7 IQ Bars, 4 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks. And now our special podcast listeners get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, just text IDEAS to 64,000. Get your discount. Text IDEAS to 64,000. That's IDEAS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
So I'm a musical nerd, okay? Like obsessed. But you didn't grow up with musicals because like you started later, like your mom and the thing and the audition and...
Yeah, but I was a fan.
You were a fan. Did you watch them growing up?
Oh, like movie musicals?
Yeah,
and
like
stuff?
Movie musicals.
Yeah.
Like, she wants to sing with you.
No, I don't. I
she
just
does.
Need to
she
know.
She wants to sing with
I
you.
I know you performed like a song from Bye Bye Birdie, which was like a huge, yes. Like, so I grew up watching all movie musicals.
Got it.
Like my great grandma was like, showed me everything and played on the piano. And like, so it was a huge part of my show. I don't talk about it much because sometimes people are like, oh, you like musical?
Yeah, but those people suck.
No one does that.
They do. I mean,
who does that?
They're just not joyful. It's like, oh my God, you like Disney? Oh my God, you like this?
Oh, no. Oh, you like joy?
Right. Yeah.
Our other best friend, Leah, like we lived together and we would sit in the bedroom and at the top of our lungs sing every musical.
As you do.
For hours straight until one, we heard neighbors slam their window shut. And I was like, oh.
And they're like, maybe, enough with the Footloose.
Maybe it's not such a beautiful morning after
all.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I think that, I don't know, in general, I've been unapologetically like myself and never been afraid to be like nerdy or like what people would call effeminate or anything like that. Or like it's not cool or not popular to do the musical or whatever. And I just, I don't subscribe. I think it's a lot weaker to not like the thing that so obviously could be considered corny or uncool. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that like musicals are considered corny because there's a lot of them that like take for granted that transition from speaking to singing. And yeah, a lot of times it comes across as a little corny. But when it's executed perfectly, and that transition is like,
yes,
from a really emotional place, like there's no higher art form in my opinion.
What's a perfect example of that? Do you have one?
All the Sondheim musicals, if you know Sondheim, like Sunday in the Park with George and Sweeney Todd and Into the Woods. I think Chicago does it well because there's like a reason why they're singing. There's kind of a vaudeville aspect of it.
Yeah,
I think like those kinds of musicals really nail it.
They do.
Mm-hmm. If I could do musical theater, I would do it. That's it.
Right.
Oh, but I can't sing. You can sing. I don't understand why you don't do it.
Well, anyway, my daughter she's in third grade and she's in the school musical.
They're doing
Shrek Jr. So
cute.
Last year they did Into the Woods, but she was too young. But anyway, they're doing Shrek Jr. And you know what she sang for her audition?
What?
The cup song.
Oh, that's adorable. How did she do it with the cup?
No, but she
did.
Really,
she empty out
she
pencils
can.
And then, oh.
Do you
okay.
do it? Can you do it with the cup? You can't do the cup song?
I very proudly don't know it.
I stand firm that I will never.
It's not my song. I mean, I know the beginning. Then I fall apart.
Then you fall apart.
Because there's like an undercut. And everyone's like, oh, it's so easy. Let me teach it to you.
Cheat
like, the point is that I don't.
You're like, I purposely will never learn it.
Yeah.
And I will say I do cheat it because like I can still get the beat in there even though I'm not doing it right.
Yeah, of course,
but you know, they are singing like, you know, a couple bottles of whiskeys for the way and my daughter's singing it and I'm like, yep, you know, it's a song.
Yep.
All right, third grade music teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but she's just like lonely at a bar drinking a couple glass of whiskey.
My 9-year-old
lived a hard life.
Yeah, she's lived a life.
She's like, look, I'm going for Princess Fiona. I've seen a lot in my day.
Seen a lot. And I'm perfect for the part. But
That's
so cute. I fully encourage it. And she's loving it. And I think it's so...
It's the best outlet for kids, too.
I think it's the best outlet
for anyone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We should just put on our own musical.
Let's do it.
Well, there is something really amazing like about... I even talk to actors all the time that like have never done any theater. And I'm not saying like, oh, you got to be on Broadway. But it's like the feeling and community, regional, whatever, of putting on a play. Not that it's very exciting, but like it teaches you a lot.
It is exciting.
It's so exciting. I had the best drama teacher in high school. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kids that came out of my high school. Like Rami Malek and I were like together with our...
Yeah. Whoa.
I mean, no, he's...
Yeah,
amazing. Kirsten Dunst, Kat McPhee. Like there's so many, you know, that kind of came from the school in the Valley. Like, we grew up in LA.
Sure.
But it was
I'm putting that together now.
Sorry, yeah. I mean,
like, we had all movie
clear.
Stars as kids, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no big deal. But she was amazing and just being part of that community. And it was like real theater, you know, like little black box.
Oh yeah.
The commitment, you know, the hours, the time together, the exercises. And that's where I like first was like, oh, I like this.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, and it was just so cool to have that experience. So I agree with you. I think like anyone should at least try that because it's really just like the coolest thing ever.
And it's super vulnerable too. It's
absolutely.
Like kind of scary also.
Yeah.
But you learn so much about yourself and your process. And like, I don't know, there's something that gives you a bit of anxiety about being kind of chained to the stage. Like you can't leave.
No.
You have to
do
this.
I like that though.
But yeah, it's something to get over as an actor. Yeah. And then when you break it up into little small pieces and you can call cuts and all the kind of things. It's, I don't know. It's a different kind of work ethic that I notice in theater people.
I will say like as I've gotten older, because you know the anxiety that comes with it, right? Like I think now I would be way more anxious and aware than it was when I was younger, like high school or whatever. You just go out. You're not thinking about it.
Sure.
Same thing for like talk shows. Like right before I go on, there's that split second of like, am I going to have a panic attack or am I just going to go out there?
That's like my life, but yeah.
You know what I mean though? But I feel like as you get older, it's like your mind fucks with you more or something.
Completely.
But at least you see, but the difference is at least in the theater, you have the lines, you know, like the talk show, there's the pressure of like,
Yeah, just what am I going to say?
Also, something about repetition in the theater as well. Like, I just talked to the lead of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, Jane Levy. Mm-hmm. She just did her first play. I've been saying for years. I was like, you will win a Tony. Like, she's such an incredible actress.
Yeah.
And she finally did. She did POTUS out here. And she was like, she would call me like in Tech Week and in the invited dress. And she's giving me the whole thing. And I'm kind of the old prospector being like, oh, don't you worry. Like, you're exactly where you should be. She's like, we haven't run it yet. And like, I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm also kind of having the best time. But also like, I feel like we're not ready. I'm like, you'll never feel
ready. No, you'll never. It's like having
then,
a kid.
And then, right. Which I don't know about, but I can imagine. And then, and then, you know, her first show, she's like, hey, randomly, like, it kind of went really well tonight. Second night, she's like, it was a weird. Then, like, I get a text in a couple of days being like, theater's the most incredible thing I've ever done in my life. I've learned everything. And now it's, I was like, now it's just your show, right? She's like, yeah, now it's just my show.
It's making me want to do a play.
Same. I love it more than anything in the whole world. Like, the chaos.
Everything.
And feeling like there's no way this is going to happen. And then it's like magic.
Yep.
And then that roller coaster of like, to me, one of the hardest things was not depending on the audience and like having nights where you're getting so many laughs or so much. And then the next night it's quiet and you're like back there and you can feel it. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
But then they walked away and they're like, I was moved.
Literally. Like, they just happened to be quiet.
You said something that I want to go back to. You said that you don't subscribe to that. So when you decided you liked musical theater or theater in general and all the things that come with that, you decided I'm not subscribing to that. I would like to know how you did that, because I think about my children, our kids, like, I think that that is one of the biggest lessons in life is what do we subscribe to and what do we choose not to? How did you decide at a young age to just not subscribe to that boo hockey?
I don't know. I feel like I could probably sit here and say something that'll make me seem super strong because it's like so much easier said than done, especially like revisionist history when you're like looking back on it. You're like, you know, you just can't care what the other kids think. It's like, no, that's really hard. And I can imagine as parents, you probably tell your kids, you're like, you'll see, none of it matters. What's really cool is to not care. But it's like, you just can't say that. You just, it's just not their reality when their entire life is that thing that they're stressing about. I don't know, maybe I was just holding fast to the belief that I loved it so much and I was scared of it for so long and I was a fan of it, that once I got over that initial fear, I started meeting people and like the kids that were in the drama department that we didn't have to go. And I was lucky enough to have like friends that were seemingly popular and like athletic and what is known to be popular in my hometown. But then I would hang out and have even better experiences, arguably, with the theater kids on a Friday night, sitting around a piano with a book, with a song book, and like doing kind of like piano karaoke's, and like that became my favorite. That's all I wanted to do. I like went away from all of the high school like Michigas, and I just. Rather than driving around looking for how to buy beer, you know, illegally, I just like saw, I did have an amazing ability to kind of see the future like in a night when like friends would be like, we're going to do this. I'm like, that's not good. That party will be broken up by that time. You'll all be scrambling for a place to go. You won't want to go home because you're going to have to, you know, no one wants to go back to their parents when they're trying to like, you know, be mischievous and young and whatever. And I thought that that was actually kind of like, not uncool, but definitely like very limiting. And I just saw no interest in that. I never had like a true college experience. And I know a lot of people do, where they've gone to the same bar every day for 4 years. And then they actually miss that bar and talk about all those times at that bar. I'm like, I would go visit my brothers in a big school. They went to Indiana University. Mm. And even after the weekend, I was like, we're going to that same freaking place again. You know what I mean? It's like, it felt like Groundhog's Day. So to me, I was so inspired by the people that I was with that maybe now I see it as like, I didn't subscribe. I just wasn't, I wasn't paying attention. I was tuning that out and tuning more into the experiences that I was having.
Wow. Yeah. But there's so much wisdom in that. That is like you said, you could say something that makes you sound strong, but what you did was you said something that made you sound incredibly wise, which is, that's it. It's like crowding in instead of crowding out. It's not about not focusing on that and unsubscribing. It's about tuning into the focus
yeah.
instead of the distraction.
Yeah.
Right? I want my kids to do that.
It's hard.
It's hard.
But it's also took, it takes like a love of something. Like right. I loved it so much that I just didn't care about what was considered cool or not.
Yeah.
And then so much so that like, then when it was time to actually do the high school play, I was actually really excited to like have like the kids that I played with on the baseball team come. Cause I was mm-hmm. like, and there I was like, oh, you're gonna make fun of it in the first act. And then the second act, you're going to be like, yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah. The way you like died and like, that was insane. Like I thought you were dying up there. And I like appreciated like bringing together those kinds of two worlds.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know it's cool. And the confidence too, because like you said, you weren't worried about like what made you seem, you know, like different, effeminate, like whatever it was, like being that age and getting into it too.
Right.
Because I think a lot of kids would feel the pressure of what other people think.
And I just thought that like the people I was hanging out with were just the coolest, like the absolute it. Coolest. And then I got to go to Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Camp. And like oh. those kids I, you know, I would connect with and they would tell me, yeah, it's hard at home. And like, I'm dealing with, you know, I'm like, I'm gay and like, you know, no one in my family, no one in my town is, and that's hard. Mm. And this is where they would go to be accepted. And so I would, again, like to more to that point of like put all of that love and stock into those friends,
yeah.
and those experiences. Yeah. And there's always like, they say like, you know, your camp friends become your real friends or like your theater friends become your real friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. kind of what happened for a while.
Are you still friends with people you went to camp with?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Very
oh,
much
wow.
so. And they're like life. Thriving. Like, my friend Shayna Taub right now is like having her own Hamilton moment where she's, there's this musical coming in this spring called Suffs, the mm-hmm. musical. It's about the women's suffrage movement. It's oh. a Broadway. She wrote it,
no.
is starring in it, like wrote the book,
wow.
wrote the lyrics, wrote the music.
That's impressive.
And so she's like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I was going to say, look
her
out.
Way yeah. all the way to the top. And she, like, I met her when she was 12. And I remember her voice then, and it's, you know.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
All I can think of is I have to send my daughter to performing arts camp.
Yeah.
It's definitely,
summer camp.
Yeah. yeah.
But I feel like it's an East Coast thing.
Is it?
No, well, they have it here.
I know, but I just feel like that whole, like, it just feels a
it
little
feels
more East
a little
Coast.
East Coast. I get what
yeah.
you mean.
Yeah. yeah. And
general.
My mom's from Philly, so, like, you know, we have a taste of that. But, like, you know, yeah. we're out here. And
maybe go out east for it.
Maybe I should just move up.
Maybe you should leave.
Is it too much to send kids to camp? I mean, it is a sleepaway camp to
my daughter's not there yet. But like a couple of her friends, like they're doing it for the first summer this summer. And you know,
it's far too for their first summer.
A few
like I'd have to be.
I will say that they do sessions there. So they're 3 3-week sessions. So that she could just do one session, which is like an extended little trip.
Yeah. 3 weeks.
You can just go stay there.
Oh yeah, no.
I'd be staying in the
Catskills,
New York.
I'm gonna be calling
too.
I'm gonna be like, guys, yeah. I am camp counselor.
I'm pretty sure the actress Rachel Bilson is like a counselor at this.
Honestly,
she's actually doing the plays.
Yeah.
That would be my dream yeah. though. Like I always wanted to do that.
She keeps like,
she's
nudging
really
the girl in Oklahoma and she's like trying to play the lead and we're like.
And she's just steamrolling the role.
That'd actually be a cute play.
That would be a great
like
movie.
Like the girl that, or a movie, like mm-hmm. the girl
never
that goes back
like,
and never
it's
got
like
to
never
do it.
It's like never been kissed, but like with
never
theater.
Sang.
Oh,
never.
100%.
Yeah.
We're going to write it today.
Yep. Yep. I like it.
Never
I
been
do
acting.
Too. Never.
Never been acting.
Yeah.
Seriously, you guys. It's like.
Or never been to camp.
I'm feeling
it
in my insides.
Camp. Yeah. Never been to.
I went once.
I know, but for the sake
but
of this
horseback
piece,
riding.
You have never been.
A horseback riding camp?
Yeah. Which, love horseback riding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I didn't get to like. Do the
sing on the horse?
No, no, yeah.
Well, I could do Oklahoma.
you could have.
Two yeah. birds. I could have. I could have, Skylar.
You come as a camp counselor. We're like, I brought my own horse.
Listen,
actually, so,
I'm ready.
So
I have my horse.
They're yeah. like, where's your daughter? My what?
Oh, shit, I forgot her.
I didn't bring that little bitch. She's going to get the weed.
She's home. With the yeah. cup song. Let's have some fun with Skylar.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, it hasn't
now,
been fun.
Yeah.
Clearly, it hasn't been fun at all. Yeah. So, like,
fun?
I'm going to try to help this along.
Do you like fun?
I love fun.
Okay, good.
If you could go on one reality show, which would it be?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not good with fast answers, too. I'm a
you
Libra.
You can take your
I'm
time.
A Libra,
you're a Libra?
So I'm gonna, yeah.
Libra. Me, too. When's your birthday?
September 23rd. I'm an early Libra.
Oh, wait. You're, like, on the cusp?
Yes,
yeah.
but, like, my chart is it's Libra.
Yeah, because I'm a Virgo.
My son's a 28.
Oh, cool. So I'm the other side of your little.
Love
yeah.
it.
I know.
Well, love a Virgo.
Me too.
Okay, so okay, if I could be on one reality show, what are some of like the popular ones? I'm thinking Survivor, but I never
watched
it. I
knew you were going to say Survivor.
But I'm not on it. And I would be terrible.
I'm not on it.
I'm not on it this year. No, but not only that, I don't even watch it. I know I would probably like it, but I just know I would be bad.
You're not survival skills.
I don't think
so. Like, you're not putting yourself on a remote island.
My back would kill me. No, and I don't like being
stress fractures.
I think if I needed to, I could be.
Build a fire?
Manipulative.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The actor in me could, like, figure out how to play the part of, like, because you have to fake the fake. You have to, like, pretend you're being innocent when you're not, or vice versa. Or, like,
sure.
I think I could potentially do that. I just can't, like, build things and make a fire.
So that's a thing.
I wouldn't be doing very good on that.
Real Housewives
is, I would like to be, like, a token husband or something like that. Just, like, the nice one.
Yeah.
The unproblematic one that is, like, why can't we be like those two? What's some other reality shows? Ooh, I would like to, like, be a judge on, like, a singing thing.
That's good.
Like, The Voice, this type thing.
The Voice.
I feel like I would like to, like.
I see that America's for Got you. Talent.
Sure.
Any of them.
Where
but
I
the
could
voice.
Just, yeah.
I like that you're like, you can't see the person when you hear them.
I like that,
I love The Voice.
Because American Idol, you know.
There's something pure about that.
There is.
That I like.
It's like Love is Blind, but for voices.
Exactly.
Do you know Love is Blind?
I do
Another
know
Another reality
blind.
Show.
It's I loved Love on the Spectrum.
That was amazing.
That was
amazing.
Very, very heartwarming content.
Yes, absolutely.
Loving that. But yeah, let's just say,
The Voice.
The Voice.
I
sorts.
Feel like that's a good option for you.
Yeah.
Support for Bot Ideas comes from Storyworth. There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all of her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Some questions that I've loved that I cannot wait to send my mom: a memory of her best friend from high school, a song from my parents' wedding. I cannot wait for the book to come after a year because I'm going to save it for my daughter. Hopefully one day she has me do Storyworth as well so she can have one of my stories. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/ideas. That's storyworth.com/ideas to save $10 on your first purchase.
What Sex in the City character are you?
I'm probably...
He didn't flinch.
No, he didn't at all.
Yeah. No, I think we're all, it's a chart, right? It's like my rising is like, maybe I have like a rising, I don't know. Hmm. Let's say like rising Carrie,
everyone should have a rising Carrie as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
The Kristen Davis character's name is Charlotte. Maybe that's my son and my rising. I can't figure out if it's Carrie or Charlotte.
But it's between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my moon is, I mean, my Venus is in Samantha, clearly.
Obviously.
Everyone's
Venus is in
Samantha.
And then I'd say, my moon is probably somewhere between Carrie and Samantha.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very well-rounded.
Yeah.
Right?
Carrie and,
that's my diplomatic way
and
of
Carrie and Charlotte.
Question. Maybe Carrie and Charlotte. Yeah, not Samantha. Samantha's just
right. Just your just.
I think
love.
There's a lot
just
of Carrie and a lot of Charlotte in my chart.
Okay. That makes sense. I feel that answer.
I do.
Nothing against Miranda. I just don't feel like we have a lot of the Venn diagram is off for us. Big fan of the character.
Spells out the
and
Venn
the
diagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder what did they ever say what their signs were on that show? I'd be curious.
I mean, they've had birthdays.
They did.
But I don't know if it ever specified.
Yeah, and you can't look at air dates. That's not fair.
No, that's not fair.
It's got to be like... Yeah.
No, it has to be spoken.
It should be deliberate.
Spoken word.
I think we need to know.
I agree.
I don't know if anyone's ever asked that question before.
Well, can we call someone?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of giving my characters
a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that every time?
Not every time, but Todd is definitely a Gemini. And so I'm like,
Todd's a Gemini.
So I keep telling like the creator, I'm like, if we're doing a birthday episode, like you've got to set it in May or like you just, it's important.
June.
To me.
Wait, tell us a little bit about your show though.
Okay. So I play, right.
Hold on. Before we get to more of this.
So it's called So Help Me Todd. Yeah. I play Todd, who is a private investigator who's stripped of his licenses for some illegal activity.
Oh.
Totally was not his fault.
Oh.
Totally was not his fault.
Okay.
And so where we find him in the beginning of the show is kind of down on his luck, and he kind of has to go to work for his mother, who is a high-powered attorney, played by Marcia Gay Harden.
Mm.
And she is very successful and very upper crust, and he's the black sheep of the family. And they have a very contentious relationship, and it's very funny. There's a lot of bickering. If you could imagine, like, a crime-fighting mother-son duo who like, are just bickering, and, like, she's, like, telling him, you know, he has schmutz on his face as they're going to interview the, you know, the suspect.
I love it.
And throughout the course of the first season, he kind of rises up and works to get his license, and now it's, like, it's a fun procedural, but we do a lot of like biting comedy and some physical comedy too. It's very fun.
How fun.
Mm-hmm. Any stress fractures?
No stress fractures right now. A lot of running though. A lot of running, but like funny running.
Yeah.
Somewhere between Cruise and Hanks and in the Tom scale.
Yeah. I don't know if Cruise would ever be like, oh, I run funny.
Right. He doesn't, but no. there's like a real like strictness to him that Todd has, but there's a little Forrest Gump that Todd gets.
It's a combo.
Exactly.
I respect it.
Yeah. It sounds so fun.
So fun.
It is really fun. Yeah. It was really fun because like we were a show that when we were first getting started creatively, I mean, I made a choice. I was like, this guy is who I believe he is. But I know like finding the audience, we were, you know, before it came out, it was like, hey, is this too funny in certain areas? Is this not dramatic enough? We were technically considered a drama. And CBS has a lot of like dramas and comedies that, you know, are very clearly dramas and clearly comedies. And we were somewhere in between. But we are that hour length too. So it was interesting being in the drama department, but like I'm doing a scene where I'm slapstickly like solving something in a bag of Cheetos. And so, but we've now like completely blurred the line and the audiences have really responded, so we're able to fully trust in what the show is,
right?
You know, and like there's no question of like, is this gonna work? Like, is this too many things?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It does. It's just like so we know what is our show now. It's just nice.
That's so fun.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like at the place where I'm like, let's just keep it going.
Let's have
fun. Yeah, I really enjoy doing it.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I
love the character too. He's a silly little Gemini.
He's a silly little Gemini. Yeah. I like that.
Okay, if you could listen to only one album for the rest of your life, which would it be?
Oh my gosh,
I know I'm putting the pressure on, but no pressure. But no pressure.
Poof. Oh my god. Is there like a Paul Simon? Is there like a Beatles? Mm. Is there like a Beyonce?
No,
like,
we're all over the place.
Yeah, we are. That's me. There could have been Thriller back in the day, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I keep saying Renaissance in my head, but I feel like I would maybe get bored of that. So that's why, like, maybe this is like a Beatles greatest hit situation. There's just something very easy. Because
it'll just be.
That. It'll just be always happening.
It'll always be happening.
Just a similar key.
I like that.
Yeah.
Not all right, you're going to go down for a murder. This is good for your character.
Uh-huh.
You're going down for a murder you didn't commit, and the chance to frame someone to get out of it. Who do you frame?
What?
I know.
Who's like the worst person?
I know.
Trump? I mean, did I just frame?
I mean, across.
But he wouldn't go to jail, right? That never happens. Someone bad, someone really bad who should be there already.
Yeah.
So let's
like
just.
Dexter. When he was like a serial killer, but only killed bad people.
Yeah.
Exactly. The Robin Hood of serial killing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be someone who should really be there already and who's not.
He's like, it's Brenda from my high school.
Yeah, could you imagine?
What's the first thing you do when you get home from a trip?
Ooh. Damn. P.
Fair.
My first thing I do when I get home from a trip, I don't know, maybe like plug in my phone.
Plug in my phone.
Plug in my phone. Pee. I'm really an easy guy. I'm really low maintenance over here. I wish I could say like unpack right away.
Never.
Right.
But that's not happening. There's always like the thing I gotta grab. There's like, oh, let me get the speaker because I'm gonna go like swim right now. So let me like get the fish, the one thing out that I need for this moment. And then the suitcase sits there.
Wait, you're
like
gonna
five
go
days.
Swim? Is yeah, like I like swimming this. A
you're
thing?
Gonna swim.
If I had swimmer? If I had a house with a pool.
You would do that often?
Yeah.
And you'd make sure to get the speaker first.
For sure.
Good intel.
Because you need music while you swim.
What do you play?
It's like a vibe. Probably a Beatles album, I guess.
That's all you have, so.
Yeah, all these questions are for the same situation, yeah. Right? So, yeah. These answers aren't going to be good. I'm going to be
what
honest.
What do you mean that? Like, they're better amazing.
Than, you're like, they're so weird.
That no, I love it. Weird. We're but you're like, I'm going for a swim, but yeah. I'm grabbing my speaker.
Yeah. That's like the first thing I like have to charge my phone because it would probably be dead. I'd have to pee.
But would you pee in the pool or would
no,
you do that
No, I'm not
peeing
even when you're I have my own here. Pool. Nope. Shower all day.
Yeah.
Drains are drains.
Yep. Drains are drains.
And I know that the pool cleans itself and I'm sure people have peed in my pool.
Sure.
But I just, yeah, for some reason don't. I pee in the ocean all the time. But
yeah.
No, all the day long.
All the day. All the live long day. I will pee in an ocean from sun up till sundown and twice on Sunday. But no, I don't pee in my pool.
Okay.
I don't know, it's the respect that I have for it.
See?
And those that clean.
This is important information.
This is very important.
Do you
important.
Pee in the pool?
I mean, I've peed in a pool.
Yeah, me I've too. Peed in a pool.
For sure.
But it's been a while. It's been a while and
like
not
when
in
I
my
was
own.
Four.
Like, I.
And not in my own. And I thought about it before. I would yeah. be like, oh my yeah. God, I should probably like
I mean,
be in my own pool.
There's so
to be
much like chlorine or whatever. Like it's really not a big
also,
deal.
Also like what I like. Also, you know, and I'm like incredibly lucky that I've like had a pool.
A salt
and like
water pool.
Yes. There's the there's like the saline and then the chlorine and the things. It's like you talk to any pool guy, they will like explain their method to you. And I'm like, I can't be messing with this pH here. I can't
oh,
like,
wow,
I feel
respect.
Like, I feel like if I was peeing, I would like see that like Doug, the pool guy being like, you know, that that's going to be, we're going to have
peed.
To shock it tomorrow just to get it back to, you know,
he
to
knew
normal.
You peed. Yeah. He would know. Doug
put like
would
that. Isn't there like that stuff you could put in so it turns blue or whatever?
That,
is that
I feel
a
like
thing?
That's an urban legend.
I do too.
Or a myth.
Or like a dot that follows
you've
you.
You've heard that.
A dot.
We've heard it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
A dot.
Yeah.
But like the whole, your whole life, you hear if you pee, a trail of blue is going to like come out.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a
no,
trail of blue?
Not to no. one.
Do you know what I do see though every
what?
Morning my, and every afternoon?
What?
My children pee in the front yard.
Wow.
Yes. They get out of the car from school and just pee right in the front yard. And I'm trying to change this.
What?
Boys, gals?
They're boys.
Because you know yeah, they're girls.
I was, say, I was like, I,
no yeah. joke.
I didn't want to make any assumptions, but.
6 a.m. I'll walk outside. I'll walk in my living room and see the two of them out there peeing in the bushes at 6:30 in the morning.
Look, I get it.
They like
you
nature
get it?
Pee.
For, first of all, it keeps animals away.
Does
so
it? There we
can.
Go.
It can. I remember I was living in Burbank for a while and they were like, yeah, we would all just sometimes every once in a while just pee in the backyard.
To keep
what kind
of animals?
Away? Raccoons?
Well, we all had dogs. So I think some sort of like coyotes potentially, like they wouldn't want to be around us, but they would want to, they smell the dog pee, but then we just like pee on the it's just a big pee fest in my backyard.
Same.
It's also like, it's a superpower. it's kind of awesome. It's kind of freeing when you're on a hike or camping or that, like to pee outdoors. It's kind of.
I wish I was a dude sometimes.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
with the freeing of peeing. Because I have to pee all the time.
Yeah.
And
I pee
it's,
right now.
I am right now.
Yeah, and I'm peeing
it's a little
right
weird.
Now on
yeah.
your yard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that that's, I get where your boys are coming from there.
I do too. And in the morning when they're doing it, I never,
isn't
I'm like,
cold?
Don't do that. I'm like, good for you. Like, if that's what you feel like doing, that's amazing. In front of the house,
wild.
In broad daylight kind of bothers
well,
me.
Well, you also get to an age too where like literally peeing outside, they say, it's like you could be, you'd be registered as a sex offender because you can literally, do you not know this?
No.
Well, there's yeah. like, that's, I mean, maybe this is like another urban legend, like the blue
no,
pee in
no,
the pool.
No, no, I know what? Someone who got arrested for it.
Right.
Wait, what? Yeah.
Because a lot yeah. of like dudes, right? It's like oh my God,
man.
Such a long line. Let me just like take a knee and like pee, you know.
Take a knee? You take a knee
you
to
can.
Pee?
I don't. But like, if you really want to be, yeah, you can.
Okay,
if you, like,
you
want
can.
To pee under
I'm
your
learning
car,
so much
if you
want
to like
today.
Pee under your car kind of a vibe. If you're like parked and you're in a parking lot and you don't want to be standing up, I'm just very, this is my move, by the way, cut to TMZ. This is my move. I will be on a phone call fake be on a phone call.
Yeah.
And just kind of let it hang and just angle my body away from
the
line. So it's like, that guy's just doing his thing. There is something happening down there, though, that's following him. He has either take a knee or do something like that, kind of inconspicuously be conspicuous. But yes, if you do get caught by the cops or whatever on the side of the road or whatever, they can get you for public urination, but also then that's public exposure. And that's like a thing.
You don't want
especially if you're
record.
In the radius. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
Just trying to relieve yourself.
I had no
and now
idea.
You have to introduce yourself to every neighbor for the next 50 years of your life. You get it like knocked down to like a misdemeanor.
It's gone. A
misdemeanor. That's my time, folks. Thank God. It's misdemeanor.
Yeah, misdemeanor.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, really well done.
I've learned so much about peeing in public.
Yeah, this is what happens when you have me on your show. Yeah. You talk a little bit about my TV show and mostly about urination.
Did you prepare that before you came here?
Which one, misdemeanor?
Yeah.
No, that came to me in this actual moment.
You and weren't I would like, I'm going to find a way to work
I've been
that
working
in
on that joke for 3 months, let me tell you.
I feel like puns and whatnot are, you know, your... Oh, shit, I forgot the term.
Domain?
Your sister, the people who have...
Twice exceptional?
Yeah.
That's one of my exceptions.
Exceptional.
Yeah. I'm a dad joke with no kids. Like, I'm waiting. It'll all make sense.
You're going to have kids one day.
Yeah, one day. But, like, I definitely... But, like, I feel like my humor's already there.
Do you have a good dad joke for us? This is what I play every... day we play dad jokes.
Are you gonna let your son pee anywhere anytime?
Depends. I wanna raise it right, you know.
Sure.
And
is he gonna be allowed to pee in the pool?
I don't know. I mean,
no.
I don't why. I just
do you tell Briar, let it loose, baby.
Sometimes I'll be like, I'll just pee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It depends.
She doesn't
it depends
like to.
On the situation. I don't have any dad jokes that I like have for her. Like, I'm not gonna live like, oh, do you know a good joke? Tell me one. But I can come up with like, you know, I got like sharp wit.
Yeah.
But my typical dad joke is just like, oh, you look like you really like, you know, you really hated that when someone finishes their plate. That's like to me. That's not even a dad joke. That's just like a dad phrase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a dad vibe.
It's a dad vibe. Yeah. It's just this corny, like, yeah.
Oh, this is really good.
Okay.
Tell us something that you've never told anyone. Nobody.
I have to pee right now.
You've never said that before?
No. No, I have said that. Okay. But
we're going
like,
to let
right
you
now.
Go. We're going to let you go.
No. I can hold it. Also, what's something I've never told
you? Yeah, anybody? I know.
I mean, that's like, oh, God. Oh, everything that I'm thinking of that's like even slightly scandalous, I've told people.
It doesn't have to be scandalous. It could be like, I used to collect my boogers under the table.
Like, I swallowed a nickel when I was a child, but
and you
my
never
parents,
told anyone?
No, my mom knew.
But you never told
Why
anyone.
Why did you swallow a nickel?
Because I was curious about the, like, I you're like three, right?
Okay.
And you're mm-hmm. or four. Or like last year, but like or three or four or 34, either way. I just like the taste of the metal, like in my mouth. Mm. I just wanted to, I was sucking on it. You know what I mean? Like a hard candy.
Sure.
And my dad stopped short because we were in the car and it just flew back there.
Oof.
And like the, just having to tell them like, I swallowed a nickel and it's like, and like, they're just looking at you like, how? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that was like the worst part of being like, well, I, like, you know, because they're
how
like,
how does one do that?
Right. They're like, did it fly in and get mm-hmm. caught? It's like, no, it was already in there voluntarily. The accident was the swallowing. And so my mom had to like fish through my poop for like,
oh,
yeah, that's love.
Why would you not just let it be?
Because apparently, well, a Jewish mother worries. And the doctor was like, you know, you'll know if you pass. They're like, what are we going to do? It's like, don't worry. At some point, he will pass through. Like, it's not digesting that nickel. You know, he's not going to turn that into five pennies. And so so she would just have to kind of like see if it went.
To make sure it didn't like block anything.
Because I think it's like, hey, if it doesn't.
Right.
Like,
we
got
it.
We're going to have to get this out.
Got it.
Needless
I'm so
to
glad
say.
This came up.
Yeah, me too.
I know.
Yeah,
don't you feel a little better? Like, when was the last time you've talked about that?
In therapy with two people that look just like you, actually. Yes. No, it's been a while. It's been a long time.
But I haven't even thought about it.
Nope. But my mom loves to tell that story at least because she's the like, that's love.
Yeah, that is love.
Fishing
is,
through that's your a mama. Poop.
Mm-hmm, that's a mama
Jewish mama.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I mean, yeah. Jewish, Italian. I got both. Anything. So.
Oh, really?
I mean, both sides.
Fantastic.
So I get it both ways. Your first celebrity crush?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Kelly Kapowski.
Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
1,000%. When I wake up in the morning. It was her. Morning. And I'm trying to think. There was some, she's definitely like another one of that era.
But you can't think of it? Was it like 90210 vibes?
I mean, there was Topanga.
Yep. Oh, Topanga. Okay.
And Boy Meets World. But I think Kelly Kapowski was like the one.
She was mine too. Like mm-hmm. not crush, but crush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. She was, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
For sure.
The hair, the outfits.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Oh, yeah.
Probably something so boring. Like one of the legal terms on So Help Me Todd. Like mm-hmm. I Google a lot of definitions of anything that I don't know what it means. If it's a medical term that I have to say in the scene or whatever. Yeah. I always use a private browser is the thing.
What do you mean?
Because I just cut I shady, yeah. Right? It's more like, and by the way, okay, wait, here's this. Oh, but I Googled Alfred Pasadena.
Okay.
Oh,
there you go.
All right. Yep. All right. They make a good coffee. What did you order?
I got a cold brew.
All right. A cold brew?
Well, at first I got a cold brew with lavender something.
Mm-mm. Oh, and it was disgusting.
It wasn't great.
No, it tastes like a spa.
It was too lavendery.
Yeah, it's awful.
Well, because Starbucks has one that tastes like goddamn Fruit Loops and it's unbelievable. And so I was like, let me get that on this. And it's not the same.
Group. No, because it's like the real thing.
Probably. Right. So, yeah. Exactly.
Real lavender.
Yeah, yeah. It's not candy lavender.
No, it's
right.
Not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're always like, oh no, but Starbucks.
I know. What can you say? What can you say at the dinner table that you can also say in bed?
I'm finished.
I love the deadpan.
I love that nobody's ever said the same thing.
No?
No.
It was always like, can you pass the... No.
No one's ever said the same thing, which I find fascinating.
What's next?
Or
I like him.
I'm full.
I'm done.
I'm done. All done here.
Sorry I had too much.
If you could trade lives with any celebrity for a day, who would you pick?
I was gonna go to like some method actor, but that doesn't seem fun at all.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it sounds like a burden to everyone around them. let me think. Like, maybe an athlete or something.
Oh,
like
basketball.
Maybe basketball.
Mm-hmm. But like, who? Whom?
Maybe like a LeBron James or like a.
If you're gonna do it, I mean,
go big.
Yeah.
Right. He seems nice. Like, he does. He does, right?
He was like, yeah.
I wasn't sure when I said it, but now
you
I know.
You were not sure.
Well, because I was like, I think he seems really nice. I think he seems like a family man. He seems busy. But he does a lot of, like, outreach. So I just want to kind of get into his life and just kind of know what's going on there.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. I like it.
Let's just go with LeBron for now.
Okay. Okay. We'll just do one more.
All right. What would be your death row last meal?
It would be a... scallion, cream cheese, lox, bagel on an everything bagel from like a really good place in New York.
Which one?
There's this place, Barney's Greengrass. It's really good. Goldberg's, which is my like hometown place, would be nostalgic and tastes like home for sure. But that's like the first course. Like, you don't get to
take us through. Take us through.
There's this like restaurant in Vancouver called Kisatanto, which is a Japanese Italian fusion, but it's kind of neither. It's a Michelin star restaurant. They have this like one kind of like egg noodle-y pasta called Tyrin. Like that would probably
after the bagel.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't care about like being farty.
Being loaded.
I'm dying.
You're dying. Yeah, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. And then probably like some other carb situation. And then like it's some salted, you know, sea salt chocolate chip cookie, like a huge warmed one with like an ice cream thing.
Yeah. Just like a pizookie.
Yeah. Maybe like a chipwich or something.
A chipwich.
But like a gourmet.
But like a gourmet. Yeah.
It's warm.
Yeah.
Do you, are you free with your flatulence in front of partners?
I can't. Yes, I have been. Yes. Okay. It definitely takes a minute, but yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, what's the timeline on it?
You know what? It's just when it feels right. I think, I think it's when I have to fart is when I think that I think that it says a lot about you and your partner if you are free to do that, because not only is it funny, but wouldn't you want that person to feel the most comfortable with you?
No.
And I've been in relationships where it wasn't really talked about and kind of like we're
very
not
private.
Yeah, and that's okay, and like I respect that.
Yeah.
But having done both, I prefer the ability on both sides. And there's something kind of nice when you do something for somebody else that you know somebody, that person would want, you would want to have done for you. And I get that when you allow someone to, when they're like, oh my God, I'm sorry. You know, and it just slips out. You're like, oh my God, fart, please. Like, how much better do you feel?
Right.
Oh my God, that one actually might smell. It's like, and this is why. And so now I can do that, right? You know what I mean? And it's not just for that. It's not just like, okay, I'm saying yes because then I get to do it.
Right.
It's more about like the shared experience of both of us don't have to like be scared. I know. Wow. I took it to a deep, really proud place.
No, it's like, 'cause there's a lot behind
There's a lot behind it.
Holding in a fart is like a real thing. Like, and when it's you come home, there's something nice about, I mean, you ask me what I do from in the airport, like right when I get home, I'm sure there's a fart somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, especially if I'm in a public car or whatever. Don't want to stink it up.
You know what's weird is I watched a video last night.
Of you farting.
Of me farting. No, it was a Tony Robbins video. It was on relationships and partnerships. And he said there's three different kinds of relationships. One is, I want you to meet me where I'm at, right? And then the second one is, I want you to, and I'm paraphrasing, but like, I want you to meet me halfway. And then the third is, I want to go to every lengths to help you get what you want. And I was like, whoa, that is an amazing shift. It's not about, partnership isn't about, here, I'll go this far and you come this far and we'll support each other. It's,
right.
I will go to any length to get you what you want. And that's what you are like with farts.
That's how I am with farts. And
that's what it sounds like.
That's how I like to be in a relationship.
Probably, yeah.
And in an ideal relationship, that person will also have that same mindset for
they
you.
Have to.
And then you innately meet that person halfway. Because
there is
this wonderful thing of this give and take of I'm there for you, you're there for me. So if you are considered like actually meeting someone halfway, there's like a lot of like compromise and sacrifice to that, which is fine. And maybe that works, but it almost feels like work rather than actually just loving to take care of your partner and loving to be there.
Yeah.
And wanting to help that person just like because you just want the best for them and you want them to be happy and you want them to feel good.
That all of this has come from?
From a fart.
Farts.
Yeah, but it says so much because how you do one thing is how you do everything. So how you show.
How you receive a fart is maybe how you know.
How you show up for your partner. If you're like, and I have to rethink a lot right now.
Why? Do you have a no fart clause?
I don't. No, he farts all he wants.
Right.
I don't really do that. It's just not my thing. But
right.
I'm never like, oh, good for him. He released that from his little tummy.
Well, you know? Is he thinking it that way? You're like.
I'm like,
what are you doing?
Why are you stepping on ducks?
Right.
But I live with four boys. So there's a lot of farts. A lot of farting.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of farting.
Well, and it gets used and weaponized, and then it becomes a problem.
It's in each other's
faces. Yes,
yeah, it's a whole
house. I have two brothers as well.
So you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there has to be some order restored, and manners is a thing. Like more to the point of peeing in the lawn. I think it's like, like if I was a kid, if I was a parent and that was a thing, like, look, if it's a pinch and we're on a trip and it's like, hey, go pee, I'll look. Like I would like that. My dad did that kind of stuff with me because like we're New York people. So it's very like, hey, just do it here. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, and like I think that there's something kind of that's helpful to that, but we can't get in the habit.
Because
now you're
going to
just be doing
yards.
The other people's yards
yes,
now.
Exactly.
And now you get your own yard and you're like, oh, well, I have to pee in it. It's like, no, you have to if it's like an emergency or super necessary.
Oh, so
could you start
fart.
A rule?
Yeah.
Two per week?
I haven't done any rule because I feel like it's good. I'm like, good for you. That's how I feel.
You're like,
I
mean, grass maybe the is a mess.
Front yard. Just not the front yard.
Yeah.
The backyard.
Backyard.
Go in the backyard all day long, just not the front yard.
Right.
That's my rule.
That's a rule.
That's my rule.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I can't catch my little one in time and his pants are down and he's peeing.
True. True story.
But, you know?
Yeah.
We do what we do.
Yeah.
What's the worst movie you love to watch?
My the worst movie? Like one of those that's so bad that it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Like there was like Heavyweights and like those kinds of movies, but I still like stand by those movies.
Right. Like, he's like, they're not bad.
No, like I would be like, yeah, because you don't want to call them like bad.
Yeah, those
like,
were my
Crybaby was my movie.
Yeah, but that wasn't bad. That was genius.
It was like iconic.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Iconic. Okay, you can go with iconic. You don't have anything. The artist, however,
I'll just say Heavyweights because it's a movie that would never get made.
What
now.
Is Heavyweights?
It's, why did we get talking about this? That it was about it's about this camp. Well, actually, it was a Disney movie.
Okay. Oh.
About like these like overweight kids that have to go to like they get convinced to go to this like fat camp.
Oh.
And it's Ben Stiller plays like the mean
counselor.
His character in Dodgeball was based off of his character in Heavyweights.
Okay.
But it's got a great message. I mean, it's fun because like the kids like rebel and they like are hiding Twinkies in the bunks. And like, so that was fun to me.
Yeah.
Camp Nowhere was another movie that like of that.
There's a big
Christopher
camp
Lloyd.
Going
camp.
On.
I love camps. You and like the feelings of the kids are running the camp.
Okay.
That was in Heavyweights, and that was also in Camp Nowhere. Camp like, there were no counselors. They discover a camp that's, like abandoned, I guess. And they just, like, yeah. And so they make a popcorn omelet, I remember. That was a thing in the trailer. So, like, they're, like, making this, like, thing in the pan, and then it just kind of blows up.
Yeah.
And it's Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future.
Oh,
he's
my
like,
God.
Great Scott, you guys made a popcorn omelet.
Fun.
It was a great time. It was a good time for movies. But yeah, let's just go. I'm sure if I watch that now, I'm like, what is this acting? What's going on here?
Oh, no, I'm going to look it up.
I saw a TikTok last night where this girl was like, my family found an abandoned camp and restored it. And I was watching it getting so jealous. They got a camp and they redid it.
I think we need a camp.
We need a
fucking camp. Let's get an abandoned camp.
What if we get an abandoned camp? I'm not kidding.
We should get that.
Like, we should just get that.
We should do that.
What if we get an abandoned camp?
What if we get an abandoned camp?
And hey, all I'm our down. Dreams, like, are going to... popcorn omelets.
Popcorn omelets.
No.
You could do your
You can
plays.
Sing on a
you guys,
horse.
I am the play.
Yeah.
You could finally do Oklahoma on a horse.
Oklahoma.
This sounds right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this was the whole reason that we came together today.
I think so.
We're really on to something.
You can fart whenever you want at this camp. Wow. It's all outdoors.
It's all outdoors.
Pull your Twinkies right out in front of everyone.
Pull your Twinkies right out of the bedpost.
I mean a Twinkie.
And like the, they were pulling out like the, like
sausage
links.
Like
sausage
links, just Twinkie.
But I was like, that looks great. Like anything where kids were just like eating junk food all the time. Because like
I'm
I was
so
limited growing up. We were almost like in a crazy limited situation. But it was the 90s. Like Snackwells were a thing. Like diet food was like what I was.
Snackwells.
You know,
oh
but those
God.
Are cookies, but those aren't like cookies.
They're not
it's
right.
Like nursing home cookies. And like, so when you get to see people eating like a proper Twinkie in a like a real Dunkaroo situation, you're like,
wait, Dunkaroos are back.
Are they back?
Oh, yeah.
I used to make friends with people just to go to their house and eat their real snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our cereal pantry was wild.
What?
Other than that,
I want to know.
Other than that, it was pretty like restricted, but like, I don't know, my mom just like, totally was
went
just
crazy.
Like, no, when it comes to cereals, that's you guys do whatever you want.
So
it started from left to right order with like Cheerios.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then like this thing called like Product 19, which is a Kellogg's thing.
Oh,
which
yeah.
sounds like
oh no.
It's
I know.
Kind of like Wheaties, but it's not. It's kind of like cornflakes, but it's not.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's got a little bit of a shellac on the flake that's kind of I don't know what it is.
Questionable.
It's savory though. And yeah, so it goes to Savory Sweet, then like to the Rice Krispies, and then to like now it's going to Corn Pops. And I was like, oh,
whoa,
this there.
Yeah.
And now you're getting into all those kinds of like Lucky Charms and Smacks
and Smacks.
Yep.
Smacks.
And it would get, and then it would just get off the rails with like Reese's Peanut Butter Puffs.
Wow.
Never.
And like, yeah, it was candy. It was straight up candy for breakfast.
I mean, but that's what it is. But that we always had, and I give my kid, you know, Lucky Charms and
Lucky Charms. Yeah. I had Lucky Charms ice cream the other night.
So did I. Was it salt and straw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like,
how is it?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Does it have the marshmallows in it?
Yeah, of
They
course.
Like grind up the marshmallows. And
they're ground up?
They're like mixed in.
Yes.
Yeah. We got the same one.
You're eating marshmallows. You're not eating.
You're not eating
like
mush.
Gummy
no.
mush. Yeah, no. The milk is definitely the flavor is.
It was delicious.
It's ice cream. Yeah, it was really good.
Yep.
Take my daughter.
Yeah.
You guys, this has been so enlightening.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
And wonderful.
Yes. Yes to all of it.
We're getting a camp.
Yeah, we're getting a camp
and we're watching your show.
Yes, please.
We absolutely are watching your show.
I mean, a pun and a title. Like,
we love.
Come on.
Leave it to Steve. Everybody hates Chris. So help me, it's Todd.
Yes.
Everyone loves it.
So help me, Todd.
Yeah.
Come
Better
on,
Call Derica
him.
Or something like, I don't know. Better Call Saul. That's the thing, right?
Yes.
Derica. I don't know why Derica is it.
Derica just came into the
Yeah. It's a big career milestone to be a titular character in a pun named show.
That is like a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I have arrived. I have
No, seriously.
It's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I do love it.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
What a fun thing.
A fun day.
And you're a fun person.
Thank you. You're fun people.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. You're a fun person.
You're a fun person.
You're a fun person.
You're a fun person. Yeah. And you answered the questions beautifully.
Thanks. Oh my God. Favorites with me is so bad.
I know. It's hard.
So bad. You did amazing.
You did amazing.
But they'd be different tomorrow, which is the point, right?
That's the point. You're going to like, it's later you're going to think about it.
Oh my God. I'm like, LeBron James, what are you talking about? Why don't you do something important with your life? Yeah, but you know, you asked.
Basketball's important.
It is
That's
to some.
Awesome.
I agree. Skylar, thank you. You're
thank
fucking
you so
awesome.
Much.
I hope I broadened your ideas.
You did.
Good. You broadened our
you
ideas.
Did. It's dope.
Do you think people are getting ASMR from me crunching into the microphone?
Dude.
People don't like it.
They don't like it?
No.
What if people really get off on like crunching? Like
it I mean, so I, guess some, like, I guess some people could, but a lot of people have misophonia, and that's where they don't like hearing mouth.
A lot of people what?
Misophonia.
Oh, misophonia. Mm-hmm. Oh, misophonia.
Okay.
Hey, you know what they like? They like this. They like, I want to crumble cookies in a bag. I want to crumble them really, really, really small.
When what?
Crumble cookies. Those words like cookie, crumble.
Mm, cookie. Guys.
You took some notes. I got some notes too.
Oh, good. You look like you have a secret.
I have a secret.
No, but you look like you're withholding something.
He's always just looks like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. Does Natalie think you're shady? Is she like, what? Because doesn't he always look like he's about to say something?
Yes.
You would do good in acting because they always tell you to like have a secret behind your eyes.
Really?
Like when you take headshots, they're like, think of something that you don't want anyone to know.
Who's taking your headshots?
Manson. Sorry. Okay.
Okay. One thing I wanted to tell you guys. You know how I always bring up, this is a continuing thing, okay, that we talk about. This is a reoccurring with me and song lyrics. Mm. I got another one for you guys.
Let's hear it.
We were at a rodeo during spring break.
As one does.
And the song came on. Well, if I sing it, I can't because then you'll hear the lyric wrong. But, na, 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 na. You know what?
Gonna rest you in my bones.
Okay.
All night long.
It's
just to
way
talk
down
to
south,
you.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Way down south.
Isn't
my whole
it
life. Want to know?
Lay down Sally.
Yeah.
Wait. Lay down Sally.
Is it not?
Can we Google it?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
What if it's Olivia? I have brittle on my hand. Wait, what if it's actually is? And I'm like, no, you guys, I've been singing it wrong my whole life, but it's right.
Wait, I need to know now because
I have so much stuff in my teeth.
I've always lay down, Sally, rest you in my arms. I've been waiting all night long just to talk to you.
Hold on. Wait, I'm going to way down south. Or maybe it is lay down Sally and I thought it was way down south. Did I get my own story wrong?
Or maybe there's a second verse and they say both.
Way down south. Hold on.
Is it?
Hold on. I gotta do the music. Hold on, guys.
Sally.
You guys, just this is worth it. Trust me. Trust me.
Lay down Sally.
Maybe it is lay down Sally and I got it wrong. I always thought it was, oh my God. Is that not so typical? I'm like, you guys. I've been saying the wrong. I didn't even remember. I didn't remember what my wrong lyrics were. I remembered my wrong lyrics as the right lyrics. And I wrote it down in my notes as the right lyrics. Oh my God. Not in a nutshell. Oh my God.
Wait, I almost spit.
Okay.
I'm laughing.
He's trying not to laugh, and I have so much shit in my teeth.
Oh my God, it feels so
good. Oh my God, you're like, no, it's laid down. And I'm like, wait a minute.
But the way you just sang it with me, it was like,
I was like, yeah, you always felt thought so it was. Seen. And it was the right lyric. Oh my God.
Woo. Oh my God.
Okay.
Dude.
Rewind. I always thought it was way down south. Okay.
I can't.
Oh my God.
I took Calvin to Joshua Tree.
Oh yeah.
Last weekend. That? It was fun. We went and climbed and stuff. And
cute.
The day we were about to leave, we drove back Sunday night. And the Airbnb had like a bocce ball court.
Cute.
So he didn't know how to play bocce ball. So I was showing him how to play. And we were playing and you know how to play bocce ball, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He threw like the little white ball and he can't even throw the big one far enough down. So he's like just threw it like 2 feet in front of us. So then I took the big ball and chucked it real hard at it. And it went like flying down the yard, and he started laughing like so hysterically that he then tripped and fell backwards into a cactus.
Oh no.
And on his butt.
Oh my God.
It was a little cactus, but just
a little
fully
butt.
Then
had
like,
to take
laughing, but also having to strip his clothes off because it was on his sleeve, it was on his butt, and every time he would move, he would like feel the pricklies in him.
Oh my
so
God.
So it's just him stripping all of his clothes off naked.
Where? Outside?
Outside in the backyard of this Airbnb.
That's
like
cute,
screaming hysterically, but then also laughing of like, what is happening? And had to like run into the shower and like.
Oh my God.
Did he want to call his mom?
No, he didn't.
No?
No, he was fine there. I had to pick pricklies out of his butt though.
Freaking dads. I do think it's so cute though that you take your little solo trips with him.
I know, it's very cute.
It's really cute.
They're fun.
I've never done that.
A solo trip?
No.
You should do it. It was like a very last minute thing too. He was on spring break all week and we were working a lot. And he was at like a climbing camp all week.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had the weekend off and was like, well, we can go for 2 days.
Why don't you all go though?
Nellie does not like driving. And then also like dealing with setting up a room for Vincent.
She's got him on like a schedule.
Yeah.
Jeff always says he'll do it. He'll be like, oh, I'm just going to take the kids skiing or whatever. And then I'm always like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can never like
just let them go
because
you're scared.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. That's why.
You gotta let go of that.
Yeah, I'd rather be with them.
I know, but you gotta let go of that.
Like, what if they fall in?
Jeff's a doctor, so.
I don't trust him. Well, he's got a lot longer of a leash than I do.
Yeah, but they're gonna also need that.
I know.
To not, like, yeah.
I have an experience in a Starbucks bathroom the other day.
Do tell.
I had to pee so bad, you guys. And I stopped in. It was after the Galleria. And I stopped at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
I had to pee so bad. I went in to pee. And you guys, I could not find the light.
Aren't they normally automatic?
That's what I thought. Could not find it. I peed by flashlight.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. I wrote that down to share with you guys.
That's actually really interesting.
Why? Because you've done it?
No, but there was
No, I can find light switches. Did you look on the wall or
yes,
you looked for the toilet?
I looked on the wall.
Okay.
No, because I just went to a little, you know, the little grocery store by my house?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a power outage.
Yeah.
But I needed to get milk. So I was like, I guess I'll just use my flashlight. And I like went in with my flashlight.
Interesting.
And used it. And then the guy in the aisle next to me scared me. He was like, he's like, this is creepy, huh? He's like, I'm in the cereal aisle. I can see you.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Oh, like, this is actually, like, my heart rate 100% went up for a minute. And I was like, am I about to get killed?
You might have been.
Like, he was like, hide and seek. This is, and I was like, I mean, out of here. And I like was like walking really fast.
I'm following you home, Olivia.
Yeah, it was scary.
My mind goes to, you were getting milk, but there was a power outage. Like, how long had it been out? Because it's not refrigerated.
Not long, because I knew when the street lights went out.
Did the power go out while you were at the grocery store?
No, I walked in. Mm. I saw an accident because the traffic lights went out. And then I was like, oh, that's weird. The traffic lights are out. And I walked in. There, it was pitch black. And I was like,
Did they ring you up? You had cash?
I had cash.
Wow.
I know. I was shocked.
We both did things by flashlight.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you think that's weird? Lay down, son.
I'm like, yes. That's it.
That's real serendipitous.
Hey, we're both smart. We both went, I have a flashlight.
my friend Matt that we FaceTime with occasionally, I sent him our like road trip itinerary. And this was not planned, but he's doing like almost the same trip. We in the middle are both in Denver on the same day.
No
way. That's amazing.
And then he's doing Arches the next day and I will have just come from
Arches. My God, you guys are like this.
Have you been to Arches?
Nope.
I've been to Arches.
Is it fun?
It was wonderful. I had only been dating Jeff 3 weeks and he was like, will you go camping with me on a guy's camping trip? And I was like, yeah, I'm cool, you know? That's the last time I camped with him.
The first and last?
Yeah, I was like, I got him. He thinks I'm like a camper, you know?
You are a yeser.
I say yes to everything, but yes.
We had her wakeboarding at like 6 a.m. in Vancouver in the freezing cold.
That's true.
You guys haven't told us about your spring break trips.
Well, I told you a little bit about mine.
I mean, not really.
How was the rodeo?
It was wonderful.
Yeah, that's all you told us about.
Tell us about it.
Where did you go?
Allisall.
Where is that?
It's like in Solvang.
Los Olivos? Solvang?
Solvang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to Solvang?
I think
so. It's like a really cute little like Danish town, you know?
North or south?
North.
North.
It's like inland from Santa Barbara.
Yes, yes.
You know? But we went to like a dude ranch and it was so fun. Horseback riding. Briar and her friend did a ropes course. Like, you guys, I don't know that I could have done some of the things she did. It was leap of faith. You like climb to the top of a telephone pole. And you're connected to a thing.
What?
And then you just jump off.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've never seen this.
You're connected to a thing.
I hope so.
It'd be wild if you weren't.
Yeah. It was crazy. They're so brave.
It'd be like Midsummer, where the old people, once they reach like a certain age, they go up on the cliff and jump off.
Oh, I never saw that movie. Rob, you would really appreciate this. So Elliot started playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And Olivia like does not. Like, no baseball, you know, like terms and stuff. What did you say the other day? You were like, he did the thing.
He stopped the ball.
He did a stop. He did a stop.
He made him out?
Yes. That is what she was trying to say. But she said, he did a stop, you know.
He stopped the ball.
He stopped the ball. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, what is she trying?
Yeah.
And then she was talking about him like hitting the ball or whatever. And I'm like.
What did he do?
Oh, yeah.
He hit the ball. He got a run.
I said, when she was trying to explain, I'm like, is an RBI?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
A run batted in.
Yeah.
So it means the batter gets a hit and someone scores. That
so that's a run batted in. So if he hits the ball and it causes the other player, let's say it's on third base, and then he goes home to the home plate and they get it, he scores.
So,
well, but that's not what he did. He might have done that.
You're like, I don't know.
She's not paying attention.
No, but he did
that.
His own home run.
Oh, he did hit a home run. That's different.
No.
He scored a run. So he got like a hit and
he
then
scored a run and then made it to
hits,
first base. And yeah, he scored a run.
He scored a run. Yeah. He didn't have a home run because a home run is if you do it all in one.
He did get a home run day one. He got a home run.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But was it on an error or he actually hit a home run?
No, right. He hit. What do you mean was it on an error?
So like did he hit it to an outfielder and they just like missed it and it rolled by them and then there was an overthrow? Like
it was like an accidental home run and not like a...
Not a proper, like hit it over the fence.
Well, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is he hit it and got
it over the fence in these games.
I was being a
dick
when I asked that.
He's like...
I don't know anything. And Rachel's like, oh, did you get an RBI? Did you
She's
get
like, what's up?
That's an error in the right fielder.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. He stopped the ball. He hit the ball.
All right, let's see. All right,
question.
I slept with my wife's younger sister. Have I ruined our family? So I'm a 28-year-old male. My wife, who I've been with since I was 15, passed away from cancer 2 years ago.
Oh.
She was my best friend. An amazing person, the absolute best. She made me feel like a better person. Without her, I felt so depressed. Last weekend, I got very drunk with my wife's younger sister, 26-year-old female, while hanging around, and we ended up kissing and having sex without a condom. Fucked up. I betrayed my wife. I betrayed her family, and I feel disgusting. I am disgusted with myself and for it being with her sister.
I don't see it that way.
My sister-in-law and I have been really close since my wife passed.
Yeah,
as friends,
really.
We hang out weekly and talk on the phone daily. She's been the person I can go to for hugs and cry and talk about the good memories of my wife.
We've already got this.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Do you want to tell me to
I mean, we know the ending. We're like, no, it's not bad.
Is there more to it?
We'll see. 2 days ago, I'm skipping some stuff for you. 2 days ago, I spoke to my wife's sister and we both apologetic about what happened. She went on to tell me that she has romantic feelings for me and has had them for about a year. She said she would only pursue them if I were comfortable with it. She started listing all the things she thinks are great about me, and we kissed again. Told her I need space and time to think about that, and she's been very respectful. My wife was the only sexual partner I've ever been with, so I don't know if that's playing a role in my feelings, but yeah, I like her. She makes me feel happy, and she's truly a good friend. I just see her as someone who is amazing, who is going to be an awesome mom and wife to someone.
We've just got this.
We're done. Yeah. I know my wife would hate me right now. I talked to my mother-in-law yesterday, who I talked to about everything, and I feel like a piece of shit not telling her what happened. Now, I'm a liar, too, on top of everything. The worst part is, yes, I would like to explore my feelings. Yes, I have strong feelings for her. I didn't realize it did, but I do. But I don't know how messed up that is. I don't know how to move forward. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose her. I don't want to disrespect the memory of my wife. I'm such a piece of shit.
He needs to chill out on himself.
It's so common when, grief. I mean, you hear these stories all the time, like whether it's like the best friend or the sibling.
My brother's dad died and my dad was my brother's dad's best friend.
Yeah.
And he would come over to sympathize.
Right. No, so
and
it's
be
very
there.
Common. Yeah. For that to happen, and especially that's like her sister, I'm sure, is the closest thing to her. So it's totally understandable. And I would think, like, if the family's that close.
They would maybe understand, too.
And I feel like even his wife who passed on, like, if it's real love like that, you want that person to be happy, you know? And
I would want that.
Yeah. Olivia always says that if anything happens to her, she wants me to take care of her.
I think you say it almost every episode of this podcast.
Every episode. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
She just wants to.
Well,
are you a spiritual psychologist too?
I think, and my husband. I think that 100%. It's like that grief that only those two people can really comprehend and understand that they're going through. Obviously, there's trauma bonding. And then there's the coolest part about that, which I think is something that people should know, is the great news is the sister's never going to try and make that woman's memory go away.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
You
point.
See what I mean? Uh-huh. That's why I would want.
Because there's someone that comes in and it'll be like, going to try to replace or erase or whatever.
Or like, we don't want to talk about her anymore or she's whatever. Like,
well, some people can be like that. They're not, it's not like it's kind of heartless, obviously, but.
Yeah. But
yes,
Like,
I'm agreeing.
You know, let's just say, let's just do it. Let's just do it for fun. Like, if something were to happen to me, I wouldn't want some random chick that's going to try and, like, take over being the mom and not keep me alive to my children. Yeah. Whereas, like, let's say if Rachel came in.
Well, she's thrown away all your photos.
She's
taking them off the wall.
She would share my face posters around.
It's like hand that rocks the cradle.
My kids, right? And, like, same with the family, like, you would share that memory and it wouldn't have to go away and you wouldn't have to detach from that part of your life. That's my opinion.
It's been 2 years, so I feel like that's not like a super I could get him having those feelings if it was like 2 months after she died.
Yeah, being a little like, yeah.
But there has been space to grieve and time for everyone. That it's not just like this is him dealing with his grief.
And, right.
Yeah.
Have you ever hooked up with brothers?
I'm sorry, what?
Siblings. Have you ever slept with two brothers in a family?
Oh, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Not at the same time.
What did you think?
Did you think she meant a three-way? Because the answer is yes to both.
Have I?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I don't have a memory. Anything's possible.
If you did, you wouldn't have known about it.
Have I?
I don't.
I almost want to call Leah. I think she would know.
Like, has anyone? I remember when we were in junior high, there was these three brothers that were all so cute and attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there might have been like, Sarah and Marissa hooked up with the same guy.
That's not the same thing.
That's not what you asked.
Oh, they're sisters.
They're sisters.
So that guy.
And they had the same boyfriend.
Right. Got it. Okay. I don't have the answer to that.
But not like, you know.
Yeah.
There's not different. In a fun, sexy way.
No, like one wasn't all the way sexy and then the other one was.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Like one was like when they were younger and they dated, they were boyfriend, girlfriend, but they weren't like intimate with each other. So then years later when the other one dated them, it wasn't that weird because they didn't cross that line. This is really good information, guys.
Really good information, guys.
So good.
You guys, last week was our 100th.
Oh, yeah.
What does that make this week?
101.
Yeah.
Dalmatians.
Good job.
Good job, guys.
That's 100 people.
Well, not really, though.
Like 97.
Yeah. We did some solos and some bonus episodes and some holiday specials.
We'll call it a cool 97 guests. That's a lot of people. Are you sure? Like, think about it. It does not feel like we have talked to like 95 people.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Who told you?
We have it numbered on like the episodes.
I kind of don't believe it. That does not seem possible.
That seems weird.
Do you want me to just quickly name the 100 guests?
Yeah, everyone wants to hear that.
Well, I asked too are there any people that have listened to all 100 episodes? And so many people wrote in saying, I have.
You asked on your Instagram?
I put it on I put it somewhere. I don't know.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and people wrote it like DM'd, like, I've listened to every single episode.
That's
and
really
it was
cute.
Really sweet.
Really sweet.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
We appreciate it greatly.
All right, let's go real quick. Kristen Bell, can you count as I'm reading these?
On your fingers. Read 100 names right now?
I'm going to go fast. On your fingers. Kristen Bell, Pleasure Without a Guest. Mandy Moore, Aubrey Plaza, Zooey Deschanel.
Wait, we're just doing guests. So yes. I didn't need to. Don't read the pleasure one.
Well, I'm going to. Maybe you count non-guest episodes.
Okay, great.
Kristen Bell, Pleasure, Mandy Moore, Aubrey Plaza, Zooey Deschanel, Lauren Mayberry, Infidelity, Gina Rodriguez, Bobby Burke, Kristen Kish, Aya Cash, Tori Deal, Charlotte Lawrence, Manon Matthews, Tommy Dorfman, Elisha Cuthbert, Chase Crawford, Charity Rose Thielen, Milana Weintraub, Ciara Bravo, Bobby Lee, Dominic Monaghan, Alexis and Gabby Haynes, Eliza Schlesinger, Hesa and Allie Christensen, Jonica Booth, Medium Jonathan Mark, Tegan and Sarah, Abigail Spencer, Derek Waters, Becca Tobin, Mina Suvari, Claudia Slewski, Alana Haim, and Sasha Spielberg. We do have some doubles. Mm. So are you counting the doubles? We might be at 100. Then a holiday episode. Lucy Hale, James Morosini, Teresa Palmer, and Sarah Wright Olson, Margaret Cho, Heidi Montag, Lori Gottlieb, Alison Brie, Kristen Cavallari, Harry Hudson, Chelsea Handler, Whitney Cummings, Emily Browning, Nick Vile, Pokey Maine, Emily Hampshire, Melinda Clark, Madison Beer, Tammin and Roxy, Alexander Ludwig, Jordana Brewster, Krista Miller, Malin Ackerman, Rachel Lee Cook, Emily Morse, Christina Ricci, Amanda Hirsch, Rachel Pally, Ellie Kemper, Tiffany Haddish, Bobby Lee, Anna Sophia Robb, Tiffany Thiessen, Seth Meyers, Hannah Brown, Lewis Pullman, Roy Choi, Jamie King, Katie Stevens, Tammin and Roxy again, Nadine Crocker, Michael Jai White, Gabby Bernstein, Lily Weintraub, our Halloween special, Ariel Winter, Gigi Good, Prue, Amelia Hartford, Rick Glassman, Jake and Gareth, Wilson Bethel. 2024. Katie Segal, Jedediah Jenkins, Amanda Klutz, London Thor, Lisa Soberano, Dylan Sprouse, Ashley Simpson, Audrina Patridge, Sosie Bacon, Vanessa Morgan, Sherry Appleby, Bobby Lee again, Samantha B, 100th episode, and today, Skylar Astin.
Okay, so we're at 93 without...
I have four.
And then we had repeat guests. Mm-hmm. I didn't count the repeat guests.
We did 100.
Yeah, you're right.
How about that?
That's a lot of fucking people.
Those are amazing people. Mm-hmm. We've had some great conversations with really great people.
Should we have a bunch of them back?
Yeah.
Yes.
Specific.
Specifically?
Crumble your cookies. Cookie.
All right. Bye.